Lord, be with us as we listen to your word this morning. Would you be with Q, help him, and give him your word and your guidance and your blessing. Give us open ears and open hearts for your word. May it touch us, encourage us, challenge us where we need to be challenged, and change us in deep ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Well, good morning. Good to be here with you again this morning. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 15 to verse 21. And it says this, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." This is the word of God. It's back to school time in the Lee household, and for many of you also. I have two middle school-aged sons, and you know, the slowed down bliss of summer, it's gone. And it's back to the hustle and bustle, it's the rat race, and as I get the kids up and out of the door in the morning, because they take as much time as possible in bed before we have to get out, and then we have to battle the Philly traffic on the Schuylkill, and there's always an accident on the Schuylkill, maybe two or three, and as I chase down one thing after another and rush to meet the deadlines that are piling up, I find that my stress level goes up. I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing and right now, but I know it's not just my circumstances, right? It's not just my kids who are late getting up. It's not just the inconsiderate drivers on the road. It's not just the heavier demands at work. Much of it has to do with me internally. And what's going on in my own heart? My heart is filled with stress and anxiety and fear. And so, you know, where does this fear and where does this anxiety come from? Stress has to do with fear. And this is a major theme of this passage. John says that love and fear are opposites. Right? If you live in fear, then you are unable to love. You are much more likely to yell and be angry and hateful. And maybe it doesn't come out all the time, but, you know, internally there's stuff going on and that you know about it. And maybe other people who are close to you can see it as well. But John also goes on to say, God's love is perfected among us when we grow out of fear and into confidence. Now, I don't know about you, but many of us, when we see that word perfected, we can think, well, that's impossible. So we can tune off. But that's not what this word means here. Perfect in this passage has to do with our growth, with our maturation, transformation. So we need to think growth when we see this word. How do we grow in the love of God? How is love of God made more and more perfect among us? How does God want us to be transformed more into his image? Because God is love. And that's what this passage is about. So let's take a closer look. I have 2 points for you. The first point is that the opposite of love is fear. John says this in verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." If you are scared or fearful for yourself, you find that you aren't able to love others. Why can't we love? When we have a deficit mindset. Now, I'm not a really good money manager. My wife is much better than I am, and she's much more, I'm sort of like have my head up in the clouds a little bit. But I do know what deficit means. Because you're running a deficit when there's more cash going out than there's coming in. So it's usually fairly simple. So, yeah, okay, I get that. and you're bleeding out, right? Little by little bit, maybe, or sometimes, oh my gosh, so much has gone out. How are we going? And you're bleeding out and you're operating in the red. Many of you belong to organizations and institutions where, people are kind of scrambling and stressed out because, we are in the red. So what do you do? You scramble to try to get more in, and you try to reduce the spending, have austerity measures and, spending freezes and so on. Now think about that in terms of your own spiritual health. When you are in the red, you have to think about taking care of yourself. You have to think about, how can I survive? And there's no room in your heart to care for other people and other people's problems. You got your problems, but I got to take care of me. You're always thinking about what you don't have what you lack. If only I had this, and fill in the blank. If only I had success. If only I had love of people. If only I had children that would cooperate or spouse that would understand me and does what you want them to. Then I'll be okay. But because I don't have that, I got to take care of me, right? And that deficit is what starts to drive your life. And what are the ways that the deficit mindset gets demonstrated in your life? What increases your anxiety and stress and anger? Your disappointment, your resentment. What feeds that? When you're trying to survive, you find yourself doing things that you never thought that you would do. Sometimes you hear about stories about people drowning. Even the sweetest mother have been known to fight off their own babies when they're drowning because they've been getting dragged down, right? And that's an extreme example, but it's also a picture of what goes on, what happens to us when we feel like we're drowning in worry and with fear. We start to fight off even the ones that are the closest to us. And all of this, if it keeps on going on for a long time, it starts to shape you, who you are. It starts to shape your identity. It's the opposite of that statement, isn't it? In the scriptures that we read, God is love. But we are not reflecting the love of God. Rather, instead of love, you are bitterness. Instead of love, you are resentment. Like Naomi in that story in the book of Ruth, Naomi's name meant pleasant, but after she lost her husband and her sons and everything that she had, she came back home and she announced to her people, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitterness. And this becomes who we are. And it starts to shape us. In contrast, love comes out of confidence. And that's the second point. The opposite of fear is confidence. Now, a little point of clarification when we talk about confidence. Confidence in our day and age, it's more like being macho, right? Being brazen or being brash. In our day, getting your swagger on, that's thought of as a good thing. You assert yourself, right? You be loud and so on and make yourself heard. But that's not the kind of confidence that John is talking about here in this passage. Because when you make yourself bigger, it minimizes God. Right? There's only but so much vision that you have. And when you become big in your own eyes, then God gets edged out of your vision. And when you're big, then God gets small. But the kind of confidence that John is talking about comes from magnifying God, comes from seeing more of God, filling your vision with God so that he actually is big as he really is. Confidence, you can say, is the same thing as faith. So John says this in verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. So the opposite of fear is confidence. It's the opposite of that deficit mindset. So let's call that surplus mindset. You know, so let's go back to the money management metaphor. You feel okay about money going out. You know, if you have money that's coming in that's equal to or greater than what's going out. And that's being in the black. And so you know, then your organization says, oh, okay, you know, we can breathe a sigh of relief. And, you know, people are not running around with their hair on fire anymore. But that's, then, you know, you can be more confident. You can afford to have a more relaxed approach to life. You can afford to give something to others and not only to give to yourself because you're not constantly living in crisis. Out of the fullness that you have, your love overflows towards others, and that's surplus. By the way, it's very paradoxical, but I've come across so many people who are poor economically, but extremely generous with their finances and with their money. I've also met many people who are very well off economically, but stingy with their finances. And really, it has to do with not how much is in your bank account, how much money cash flow you have. It really has to do with what's going on in their hearts, right? It's the surplus mindset or the deficit mindset that's in your heart, you know, and not about how much material wealth that you have. But if your heart is full of fear, you won't be generous. So how do we get the surplus mindset? If you believe the good news of Jesus, if you believe that you don't have to take care of yourself, but if you believe that God is for you, that is not against you, then you have then you start to realize you already have a super surplus. You need not scratch and fight and be anxious any longer because you already have something that will never ever run out. Right? The gospel says God is for you utterly and so radically that He didn't spare His one and only Son, so that He could take care of you forever. On the day of judgment, John says, we have confidence that we will be accepted because Jesus gave all that He had, even His very own life, for our sakes. If He did that for us, then what would He ever withhold from us? When you regularly let this gospel truth sink into your heart, when you practice realizing you possess super surplus that will never ever run out, then you can live with confidence. Now, you know, what happens is we usually forget this. You know, you go through the day and you run into different situations and you come across different people and we quickly forget. So therefore, we need to be in a regular practice of reminding ourselves, of remembering we are rich beyond measure because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We are loved. We are not alone. We are loved. And we need to spur each other on in this. We need to encourage each other on in this. And this is how we can love one another, right? Because we are so quick to forget. And so when we do that, you start to live with the mindset that you have nothing to lose in this world. You have nothing to fear, nothing to stress out about. Your Father has you in His hands, and He won't ever let go. Now, this is the fight of our lives, isn't it? Friends, this is the fight of our lives. We struggle to believe that and keep the faith. When trouble comes, and trouble does come in this life, and it doesn't leave for much longer than we feel that we can bear. It feels so much easier to just let go and give in to the darkness, give in to the fear, give in to the selfishness. No one cares for me. God doesn't care about me. I want to take care of myself. But you see, there's a cost to that. We end up with a twisted up, shriveled heart. We might be taking care of ourselves, but we don't have God taking care of us. And we won't be able to love. As time goes by, we become more demanding. We become more manipulative. we become more angry. And the people that are the closest to us won't find joy in being around us anymore. We become less and less like God, who is love. But when we are all learning and growing to take a hold of that gospel truth into our lives, this is how love is made perfect among us. When we say, yes, I get it. Yes, I believe God first loved me while I was far away. While I was yet a sinner, Christ laid down his life for me. This is grace. This is love. And this is what my heart has been looking for. That's when we can also say, I too must live by love. Right? Then we have the wherewithal to love those that we find difficult to love. Our families and our neighbors, our co-workers. And verse 19 becomes a reality. We love because God first loved us. So the invitation from the Lord this morning is this. Fill up with the love of God on a daily basis, on a regular basis. Anyone won't ever run out. You know, Jesus says that, you know, his love is living water, right? It's a spring. And if you look at springs, it's always flowing. It's always fresh. It never gets stopped. And so God's invitation for us is come back and get it. Even though you might forget, even though you might be hardened, and even though you might be full of fear and anger and sadness, come back. There's much more where that came from, and be renewed. And receive the spirit of love into your lives and live in Christ who loved you and gave himself for you. And then go and give that love to those that you found such a hard time loving because you've been crippled with fear and with anxiety and with deficit. And when you're slipping into fear and bitterness again, come back and get some more. Right? In fact, feast on God's love again and again. Invite the Spirit into your life again and again, every day. Then you will overflow for the sake of all those around you. And as the church, as you seek to live out God's mission, it's a mission of love. It's not simply to make things go, right? It's not simply to perform a role, but rather the mission is to love. How can we love better? How can we grow and mature and become more perfect in the love of God? And so come back to him and be filled, and out of that overflow, minister to this world that is desperate for the love of God. Let's pray. Send your spirit, O Lord Jesus, the spirit of love, and give us that living water so that our hearts might be quenched, our hunger might be satisfied. Do it again and again, O Lord. And renew our hearts of fear and our hardened and bitter hearts so that, Lord, we might be turned into people who might be known as love, as you are love. May God's love be made complete among us, O Lord, I pray, by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.